Blog Talk Radio.
This is Talking Brick with Mayor John Ducey.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. The phones are open, so if anybody wants to call in and ask any questions or share any thoughts at all on any topic at all, please call in. It's 347-426-3543. And, of course, it makes the show a lot more interesting if there's calls coming in. I don't have any special guests tonight, so it especially be great if some people can call in today. A few announcements before I begin. This Saturday, February 20th, is the Brick Birthday Party at the Civic Plaza, and it's from 12 o'clock until 2 o'clock. Brick Township is 166 years young this year, and we wanted to celebrate with the first ever that I know of Brick Birthday Party. February 20th, it's at the Civic Plaza, and that is on Chambers Bridge Road, and it's where the Township Recreation Department office is. The party is being thrown by the Township in conjunction with the Brick Youth, the Mayor's Teen Advisory Committee, and there's going to be a bunch of different performances from local dance and theater groups. Our middle school students are going to put on a performance, and there's going to be a lot more different activities going on throughout the 12 o'clock to 2 o'clock. It's free to attend, and it's really going to be a special event, and so come on out this Saturday from 12 to 2 at the Civic Plaza. Still want to encourage everybody to please use the hashtag BrickProud on social media to show what makes you proud to call Brick Township home. Obviously, it could be our parks, our schools, our sports teams, your favorite restaurant, anything at all you love about Brick. Post it on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and use hashtag BrickProud. And I encourage everybody to take a look on your Facebook account and search hashtag BrickProud, and you'll see all the different postings already. There's various pictures all around the town, some of the snowstorms in the past couple weeks, and also some businesses are actually advertising on there. Green Cove Marina was one I saw that uses the hashtag BrickProud, which is one of our fine marinas here in town, and they're more than allowed to use the hashtag BrickProud, and anybody who searches it, they're going to see their business. So whatever, if you want to give some free advertisement for your business, I would do that as well, and do the same searches on Twitter and Instagram. You're going to come up with some interesting stuff from around the town, including the fact that I'd like to congratulate the Brick Township High School girls bowling team on winning the NJSIAA Tournament of Champions, and they won a tough victory over Brick Memorial. So Brick is home to the two of the four group state champions and the overall first and second place team, and that's unbelievable. And the way the Tournament of Champions works, for those of you who do not know, each individual group, depending on your size of school, has a state championship, and there's South, and there's North, and Central, and then the champions from that move on, and then ultimately, there's only a few sports that have it. They have a Tournament of Champions. Basketball is another sport that has the Tournament of Champions. And so, therefore, there is an overall state champion. So, for example, in football, you could be a state champion in football, where really you're just a state champion of your group, because there's never that next level where Group 4 plays Group 1 or Parochial A plays non-public A plays Group 4. They don't have that in football because it's too much wear and tear on the body probably. But they do have it in bowling, and the first and second place team is right here in Brick Township for girls bowling for this 2015-16 high school season. Number one was Brick, and number two, Brick Memorial. Congratulations, everybody. I do have a question. The question came in via Facebook, and it's from Ian Mulligan. He wanted to know, when will Cedar Bridge Manor Roads be repaved? And I do have good news for Ian, is that the actual roads in Cedar Bridge Manor do not need to be repaved. And the reason why we're starting a what's called a pavement maintenance, and it's a seal coating and crack sealing program. And I'll give a quick little blurb on that. And this is from our engineer. The key to good quality pavement is in maintenance. Seal coating is a simple preventative maintenance process that protects and extends the life of pavement. Seal coating uses a refined coal tar emulsion sealer with additives, and it's a way to protect your pavement and investment, keeping asphalt in the best condition possible. The intent is to bid, and basically all of the roads, and there's a whole bunch of different areas in town we're going to do this program, all of the roads have a pavement-based course that is in good condition and a surface course that is in decent to good condition. But all I need to do is have the seal coating done and the crack sealed. And the reason why the crack filling is essential is because cracks let in water, which causes the pavement base to become unstable and deteriorate. And when the cracks are identified and filled, when they're small, it keeps them from turning into bigger problems such as potholes or permanent pavement damage requiring restoration. And cracks that are left unfilled will definitely grow in size, causing pavement to prematurely fail. So in Cedar Bridge Manor, including Mary's Drive, Barberry Drive, Acorn Drive, Manor Drive, Eastern Lane, Sycamore Drive, Pine Drive, and Cherry Lane, that's going to be one of the first spots that we're going to do this pavement maintenance, the seal coating and crack sealing program. So good news for you, Ian. It's not going to be paved because it doesn't need to be because the asphalt and the surface course are still in good condition. The pavement base and the surface course are still in good condition, but it does need this preventive maintenance, and we're going to be doing that sometime this year in 2016. All right, getting back, please, again, if you have any calls, the phone number is 347-426-3543, and obviously we'll make for more interesting conversation. So first thing I want to talk about was beach replenishment. I don't know if anybody's seen some pictures. Hopefully you're not over there in person, but unfortunately we had to close the beach. The police chief did a state of emergency for the entire 1.8 miles of our oceanfront beach. And the reason why, that January 23rd snowstorm really created some problems over at our beach. It was basically, we used to, before that storm happened, we had about 6 feet of this. We had the steel wall, as everybody knows. We had about 6 feet of the wall, which was exposed down in Normandy Beach, which is 6th Ave, 7th Ave. And then the storm came along January 23rd, and it really eroded our beach tremendously. So now, at that same area in 6th Avenue, we have, you're standing at the top of the what is basically a sand pile. You have an 8-foot drop, which goes from the top of that sand to the top of the wall now, and the entire wall is exposed. And then if you're standing on top of the wall, you still have about a 20-foot drop to where you're actually in the water during high tides. The high tides come all the way up to the wall, and basically the wall is acting like a bulkhead at this point. And as you go further north, where the wall was never exposed, the wall is now exposed at various lengths. I mean, it's 20 feet at the worst spot. It goes all the way down to 3 or 4 feet at the best spot, and then some of the beaches, Brick Beach One, for example, the wall's not exposed at all, but there's still like about an 8-foot type of cliff that was formed by the waves just pounding in against the sand. So what we need here in Brick Township, and we've been talking about it for a few years now, is the Army Corps Beach Replenishment Project, and what that is going to add to our town is a 22-foot dune over the top of the steel wall, and then 200 feet of sand in addition to where the high water mark used to be, which is now the middle of the ocean. And so it's going to be a really large beach. It's going to be 250, 300 feet large, but we need this Army Corps project to happen. And what's holding us back from having the Army Corps project happen is the easement holdouts. There's still a number of people who have not signed easements, so I wanted to give an update on that. We had originally 32 homeowners, meaning families or corporations or individuals who owned homes who did not sign. So that 32 number was what we thought we were going to have to file eminent domain against, and I mean the state. Luckily, 7 people voluntarily signed. Those 7 homeowners were offered money. They actually refused the money, didn't take the money, they just voluntarily signed the easement. So that brought our overall number down to 25 from the individual homeowners. And 21 of those complaints are filed, and those are pending down in Ocean County with the hearing set for, I believe, this Friday. And there's 4 that they're still negotiating with, trying to get ready for eminent domain. So those are the last 25 that we have in Brick. We're way ahead. We had many people, besides the 7 recent voluntarily, we had everybody else voluntarily signed. And that includes all of our associations with the exception of 2 at this point. And the 2 associations have not signed. And what the state has told us, and this was only 2 weeks ago, they said if they don't sign by this coming Friday, there's going to be no beach project for this year, and which basically means we're not going to have any sand for our beaches this coming this summer. We're going to be able to construct some on-ramps, basically to gain access to the beach. But really, we're going to, like I said, high tide right now is at the base of the wall. So you're going to maybe have a place to sit during low tide. But when high tide comes in, there's really going to be no room for anybody. So it's very important to get these associations to sign these easements as soon as possible. And basically, we have only 2 or 3 days left for them to do that. If not, they said they won't do the Army Corps project until 2017, which means we're going to go a whole summer without beach access over there. And that's going to be very disappointing to a lot of people. Or we're going to have very few access, very very few spots. You're going to have to get there early to claim a spot on the sand, because otherwise you're going to be out in the parking lot. So it's dire consequences over there, dire situation, and we could use all the help we can. So hopefully these two associations will come through. There's 18 left in Toms River, so we're not alone in this. We're a very small number, obviously only two. 18 of these associations have the same deadline of Friday in our neighboring town of Toms River, where they're actually more exposed because they're not lucky enough. We lobbied hard to get that steel wall revetment here in Brick, and we're able to get it. Toms River does not have that, so they're just basically wasting their money by constantly building up these sand piles that are washed out to sea at a normal high tide with a full moon. So they're wasting a lot of money over in Toms River. We're lucky enough to have the wall, but we have only two associations left to sign, and they're working on 18 of them. So with only about 72 hours to go here. Let me see what to talk about next. The CDBG grants. We were lucky enough to be awarded $43,000 from the state in order to give to our local community service groups. And the state allows us to pick these groups on our own because we're the ones with the boots on the ground. And we're most familiar with what these organizations do for our town and for our people of our town. And we were able to have a council meeting where we had almost every single one of our groups that we were awarding money to represent it. Now, I know a lot of people out there are a little bit confused. They would think, oh, why are you giving away $43,000 to these groups? You should, you know, maybe pave an extra road or pave an extra parking spot probably for only $43,000. But we can't use this money for any other purpose but for these community service groups. And they do such a great job. They need the money. And so when you hear some of them got some small amounts, like $1,000 or $1,500. But if you watch the council meeting online, it is available. You can see how happy they are and how far $1,500 will go. I remember one group was saying how many lunches they could buy for you know, what seems like a small amount of money, but it really means a lot in terms of their commitment to helping our residents. And the what we did this particular year, the $43,000 was given out to various community service groups, which included this year Meals on Wheels, the Ocean County Hunger Relief, Dottie's House, the Ark of Ocean County, the Jersey Shore Council of Boy Scouts of America, Northern Ocean Habitat for Humanity, and several others. It is funded by the Department of Housing Development, and this year we did something extra special. We did it with our in-house planner, Michael Fowler. We used to have an outside vendor do it, and there was a significant cost. And because of that significant cost, obviously would increase your anybody's taxes. So the CDBG representative did more than just administer this account. They did some other things with individual homeowners, but all that is now in-house, and it actually saves the taxpayers $134,000 because we took away that outside position. We have Michael Fowler, who's a great planner here in town, and he was able to do those job duties at, you know, we didn't have to pay him any extra. He's here, and that's part of his yearly salary that he makes as an employee here, and it saves the taxpayers $134,000 because he has the skill set to be able to do something that we used to pay $134,000 to somebody outside to do. So thank you, Michael Fowler, for doing such a great job for the town and helping us save a little bit on our tax bills. Now, coming up with the tax bills, next up is the municipal budget. I did hand over the budget to the Township Council at the last council meeting as well. And the 2016 budget is now in the hands of the council. They're going to introduce the budget on March 22nd. And these are timelines that are set by the state. And just looking around at other towns, I noticed that pretty much, I don't think many other towns, at least in Ocean County, at least right in our surrounding area, have complied with the deadlines, because I think there would be newspaper articles about it. And the only one I saw so far was the one about brick, because we abided by the state's timeline, which means the council will introduce the budget on March 22nd. So that's the next hearing. In between now and March 22nd, we have different department heads that are coming into the council meetings to describe their and explain their portion of the budget and talk about what went up, what went down, what stayed the same, and why things increased or decreased, or why they're able to stay the same. And so it's a very great learning experience. And we actually open it up not only to council members to ask the department heads questions, but we actually allow the public to ask. So if you take a look at the budget document, or even without the budget document, and just listen to the presentation, you get your opportunity to ask the department head, some questions about the budget and why things increased or decreased, and get to learn more about the whole process, which is somewhat enlightening. I didn't know anything about the budget process until I was on council. You learn a lot, because you know all the different restrictions you have and what you can and can't do and civil service, and it definitely is a learning experience, but well worth it. So for the 2016 municipal budget that I did hand over to the council at the last council meeting, there was a lot of hard work from many people, including our entire township financial team, our department heads, the division heads, they all embraced the vision and philosophy that we're working on, which is basically to rein in spending and work more efficiently. And I thank all the township staff and the department head and division heads for helping us on that philosophy. And now the biggest challenge facing the budget is probably seems crazy to a lot of you out there, but it's still Superstorm Sandy, and it's still going to be for another 2 years. The reason why is because we actually borrowed $35 million in order to pay for the Sandy damage and the infrastructure and the workers clearing the roads and everything else, and we have to pay that back, and they're only giving you 5 years to pay that back. So it's about $7 million a year that we're paying back, and there's interest involved, so that's why I say about $7 million. Basically, we still have 2 more years to pay back that loan. So this year alone, in just that emergency note, and I call it a loan, it's an emergency note interest and the emergency note principal pay down. That alone into our taxes equals 6.7 cent tax raise. We're not raising your taxes 6.7 cents because of cuts we made in other areas, and I'll get to that in a second. But just that payment alone means everybody's taxes go up 6.7 cents, which is crazy. And then we still have $357.7 million loss in ratables. So what that turns into is a de facto tax increase of 2.4 cents. And what that means is basically the simplest concept. If, let's just say, there's only 2 houses in Brick Township, and each of them pay 50 cents for taxes. And I know people are laughing because you pay a lot more than 50 cents, but just to make it easy. So 2 houses each pay 50 cents in taxes for the dollar budget. And one of those houses goes away for whatever reason, which in this case was a storm, well, there's only 1 house left, so that 1 house pays the dollar now. So it's a very similar thing. This is what we lost, $357.7 million worth of those ratables. So $357 million of houses we lost, and still lost. We actually lost a lot more than that. They're actually coming back on the books. So that would equal... That equals to everybody else in town a 2.4 cent increase. So you have the 6.7 I already spoke about plus the 2.4. So as of just those two things, our taxes would have been going up 9.1 cents this year. Again, it's not going up 9.1 cents because of other cuts we made. In addition to those two things that have to do with Sandy, there's a third thing. There's an essential services grant that we've been getting the last couple of years because the state and the federal government recognized, hey, we need to get some tax relief directly to the towns. And last year they gave us $2.1 million of that grant to help with tax relief, and it went directly towards tax relief. And this year they said that number, $2.1 million, is now zero. So that alone is a 2.08 cents on the municipal tax rate. So you take the three things from Sandy, which is the emergency note interest and the emergency note principal pay down, the loss of ratables, and the loss of this essential services grant. And our taxes are going up 11.3 cents this year just from Sandy. Again, don't fall over in your chair. They're not going up 11.3 cents because of other cuts that we made. And what were those cuts? Well, first let me give you some of the other things that cause an increase. So 11.3 just in Sandy. And now here's some things that are outside our control, and I want to talk about things that went up $100,000 or more. Group health insurance, medical coverage increased 9% this year. Our prescription coverage increased almost 35%. Our PERS and PFRS contributions, which is the pensions, it increased as a result of the governor's decision not to fund the state pensions obligation. So therefore, because the governor didn't fund the state obligation, our township obligation went up, costing us more money, well over $100,000. Our utility costs went up. Our interest due on outstanding notes went up. And all those things. So the health insurance went up because of the Obamacare. The pension went up because of the state government and the governor not funding the pensions. So these are things totally out of our control, but it has an increase on our budget here in Brick Township. So in addition to the 11.3 cents, we have these tax increases that are coming from outside sources. But we're able to decrease the areas, and I want to talk about, again, not more than $100,000. Those are the substantial ones. And we decreased our legal bills by over $100,000. We decreased our engineering bills by over $150,000. Thanks to the hard work of our safety officer, we've been able to reduce our liability premiums and our workers' compensation costs. Our liability premiums went down $127,000. Our workers' comp costs went down $104,000. We started for the first time ever. We went out to bid for animal control services. And by doing so, we saved the town $135,000. And then there was another $134,000 I spoke about earlier about keeping the CDBG in-house as opposed to using the outside consultant. So all those things were savings of $100,000 or more. And because of that, our taxes are going up, unfortunately. The budget is still within Governor Christie's 2% tax cap levy. We also, as far as reductions, besides the savings that we had, we reduced total township debt by $7.8 million during 2015 alone. People may remember, probably not, but I'll remind you, on January 1st, 2014, I had a debt reduction plan, and it was going to lower our township debt $1.5 million every year for the 4 years that I'm lucky enough to be mayor, which comes out to $6 million. Well, we're way ahead of schedule, and in fact, last year in 2015 alone, we reduced it $7.8 million. And so far, in the first 2 years of my being a mayor, 2 years and 2 months now at this point, we've reduced the debt $13,257,103. And we're going to be on course to reduce another $2.3 million this year, and just try to keep on saving as much as we can. So, based on that, the hard work, the cuts, the saving, and the debt reduction, the local tax rate is increasing, but it's only increasing 2 cents. So it was 11.3 cents. It was going up just from Sandy alone. It's only going up 2 cents. What does that mean in your pocket? It means less than $5 a month for the average assessment here in Brick Township. So it is going up 2 cents. It's going up $59 for the year, which, again, is less than $5 for the month. And that's thanks to all the hard work of the financial team and everybody else here, department heads and everybody, just trying to cut as much as they can. Because otherwise, like I said, we're facing 11.3 cents, which would have been close to $400 our taxes would go up just because of Sandy, still all these years later. And we're still looking at those Sandy problems for the next 2 years because we still have those giant payments. So it's in the hands of the council now, and March 22nd is the hearing date. But in between then, please come out to a council meeting, and you'll see the various department heads giving their update as far as how their budget went for this year. Hopefully there's some calls out there. Please call in because I only got about 5 minutes left. It's probably even shorter than that if nobody calls in. It's 347-426-3543. And again, it can be on any topic. It doesn't have to be what I'm talking about here tonight. It could be any topic. I mean, I had some kids, you know, in kindergarten the other day. They were asking me what my favorite restaurant was, what my favorite food was. That's fine. If kids want to call in and your parents allow you, call in and ask me any ridiculous question you want. I may not know the answer to a lot of the questions, but I'll be able to get back to you and find out what the answer is. So I know we had Ian who wrote in earlier on Facebook, and we were able to answer his question about his particular roads or roads that he's interested in out in Cedar Bridge Manor. One last thing, I guess, since I'm not really getting any calls. Since everybody's out there freezing, and it was especially cold this past weekend, Summerfest concerts, I'll talk about it and let you all know. We already picked this year's concert lineup. Summerfest starts June 30th. It's Saved by the 90s. Then July 7th is the Bronx Wanderers. July 14th, the Amish Outlaws. And July 21st, Rubik's Cube, which is an 80s band. So we have the 90s, the 50s, the 80s, and the Amish Outlaws, which they pretty much play everything from all eras. There's fireworks after every single one of our concerts. And our new media partner this year is Town Square Media, Jersey Shore. And they're home of some of the most popular radio stations of the shore, including 94.3 The Point, 92.7 OBM, 105.7 The Hawk, and WOBM AM 1160. So it's going to be the best year yet. Save those dates. Again, June 30th, that'll be our special 4th of July show. It's before the 4th of July, but 4th of July falls on an odd day of the week this year. So June 30th, we're actually going in June for Summerfest. July 7th, July 14th, July 21st, fireworks after every concert, and it's going to be a great summer, and hopefully everybody has some warm thoughts. So thank you for listening. I wish we had more calls or more Facebook questions, but we don't. So I'm going to sign off right now, and thank you for listening, and I'll talk to you again, and I'll see you around town. Brick, thank you very much.